You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. Once a month, we check in with the Juno Police Department to discuss current public safety priorities and more. Joining me now is Lieutenant Craig Campbell, Special Operations Lieutenant. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Doing good today.
Well, of all the things to discuss today, snow and ice is top of mind as we're in the midst of another stormy week. How does all this wintry weather impact your department?
You know, typically during the winter time, the additional weather with snow and ice, as everybody notices, you probably see a little few more cars go into the ditch. It slows down traffic a little bit. So generally, we have a little more calls for service for traffic related crashes and things like that. It's always good for people as you start getting into the icy weather is to make sure you have adequate tires, whether that's studs or some kind of all season tire that's give you a little better traction in the winter time. And then always just, drive safe. They're dependent on the road conditions. You might not be able to drive the speed limit. You might have to drive 5 or 10 under and just drive to the best of your ability. And I've always told people is, typically when we see crashes happen, it's because people are going a little bit too fast for the road conditions or their ability to drive or their ability of their vehicle to handle those conditions.
Mm. Can you refresh my memory about, I want to call it like the pink sticker program, which means if you've got a sticker of a certain color in the car, it's already been called in?
Yeah, so that's a kind of a new program that we started. I believe it came as a recommendation of one of our dispatchers. Typically, if there's a vehicle that goes in the ditch, in the past, JPD may go out with it. We realize that, hey, there's nobody hurt. There's no violations that took place. But for whatever reasons, maybe we're just not ready to, or the owner's not ready to get it towed out of the ditch. And it's not causing a safety hazard. So there's no reason to have a tow truck there right away, especially during rush hour times or rush hour traffic, which could make it a little bit unsafe. And the idea is we put these tags on so people who are driving by see the vehicle, see the tags, and they know that as long as they're familiar with the program is, hey, JPD is aware of it, they've dealt with it, and they're dealing with it. And that is hopefully trying to reduce some of our unnecessary call volume from people who are reporting the same vehicle in the ditch over and over again. And where we know about it, we're going to get to it later on.
Thanks. That's really helpful. Well, I believe that everyone understands when it comes to road and walkway conditions, driver, pedestrian safety, et cetera. Your department just can't be everything to everybody. Apart from driving safe, what are some other ways, helpful ways that civilians can do their part?
I think for as far as for driving.
Well, I was also thinking along the lines of, is there a responsibility to clear sidewalks, driveways, berms, things like that?
As far as the police are concerned, it's probably hard to say about the responsibility for that. I mean, as an overall community, it's probably definitely good to keep your drains clear if you can, in case it helps prevent any flooding. Try not to dump snow back into the roadway. You see that sometimes where the plows will come, they'll put berms in people's driveways and some people try to push it right back in the street. Although that's not technically illegal at times, it can create additional safety hazard, especially when those that snow freezes. So yeah, try to keep those things clear, roadways clear. Some places, if you have sidewalks near your house, some people who live there will clear their sidewalks. That's always great, but definitely not a requirement. I think it's just part of trying to keep people out of the roadway and try to keep it safe for them.
Right. Are there any requirements legally required, anything that's legally required of residents in the CBJ when it comes to snow emergencies?
Snow emergencies, that I'm not aware of.
Okay, just checking. Want to make sure I'm compliant. Well, speaking of abiding the law, your department released a statement regarding a recent rather disturbing BB gun shooting spree. It sounds like we're all pretty lucky that nobody got hurt. Do you want to talk about the outcome of that?
Yeah, sure. Definitely. It sounds like some people were using some very poor judgment on that day. Yeah, and thankfully nobody really got seriously hurt. One person did get shot. It was in their, I believe it was in like their lower torso area. And I don't think it even broke skin, but I could be wrong about that. But they didn't require any medical attention and no significant injuries. But that you know, could very easily have gone the other way. You know, sometimes you can, someone can shoot a BB and shoot someone's eye out, and that'd be pretty bad. And hopefully people will hear about this and learn from other people's mistakes and go, hey, that's not smart. I don't need to be out trying to hurt people or damaging property. But we're thankfully that there was no significant injuries during that. And we were able to make contact with the people right away and get that case under conclusion very quickly.
So I'm just kind of guessing here, but it seems like the BB gun isn't exactly a lethal weapon, but it can certainly do some damage, and it can certainly look like one. I think in this case, it kind of resembled a handgun. So I was just wondering if it's considered to be a firearm, and when you made the arrest, how did that determine what the charges would be?
Yeah, so unfortunately, you know, some manufacturers will make BB guns look just like real guns. Some may or may not have that orange tip that we come accustomed to seeing on some firearms like that, but some manufacturers will not do it, and they specifically do it because they want it to look like a real gun, and sometimes people will buy it specifically for that reason. The problem is, you know, to anybody looking at some kind of incident like that, if someone's playing around with it, it's going to look like a real gun, depending or specifically regarding the content it's being used in. You know, if someone's shooting cans in their backyard and you hear a little plink, 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 that seems like, hey, that's not a real gun. But if you are driving up on people down Egan Drive and pointing it at them, they're going to maybe consider like, hey, I think that's a real gun. Or, you know, you hear some reports down south of somebody, you know, police responding to a call for service and somebody pulls out a gun that looks like that. And when you're trying to make a quick decision on what to do, when someone pulls out something that looks like a real gun, yeah, you know, that could have disastrous consequences for somebody. And that could be police or that could just be a citizen, you know. If someone pulls a BB gun that looks real on another person and is using it in a way to threaten or intimidate, that person could feel threatened and they could, you know, take action. That could be, it'd be just be a bad situation. So I think it's always best for people not to buy BB guns or airsoft guns that look real, because it creates a possibility of making a situation more dangerous.
Do you mind if I ask what you ultimately charged one individual with when it came to the assault with the BB gun?
Yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, I don't know all the additional charges. There were quite a few. We put them out in the press release, but one of them is an assault, and it's probably assault by what they consider a dangerous weapon, because still, you know, getting shot with a BB gun still creates injury. It can also create fear that you're being shot with a real gun, or you're placing people in fear of being hurt by a deadly weapon. Even though a BB gun by itself might not be classified as a deadly weapon, depending on how it's used, you can still create that fear in somebody. So I think there's an assault 2 or 3 charge, a felony assault charge at the very least.
This is the only BB gun drive-by shooting that I've heard about in Juneau or anywhere, actually. And maybe it's not unique in the sense that it kind of involved young people and alcohol, but how common are incidents like this?
You know, I can think of in my career a few, that not so much drive-by where shooting people, but drive-by shooting property, whether it's cars or buildings. We've had a few of those throughout the years. I don't recall one specifically where somebody shot a BB gun at a person, but I think it very likely could have happened in the past.
Well, thanks for sharing the details there and giving us sort of a big picture understanding of what happened and who was involved and what was the response from the JPD. That might actually be a good segue into recruitment and staffing, which is something we check in on during these interviews. I understand that the Citizens Police Academy just wrapped up. So what does that mean for JPD and the public?
Yeah, so the Citizens Police Academy wrapped up in, I believe it was November, maybe early December. It was our first Citizens Academy since COVID all kicked off. I think we were all set to have one in 2019 when COVID picked up and we had to cancel it. So we were pretty excited to be able to open that up to some community members this past year. And we got a handful of people, and I think we had about 12 to 15 people that made it. And overall, I had really positive interactions with those people and had a lot of positive feedback in the class again. So we're trying to get that up and running again in the spring. So probably looking at about April, we'll be offering that academy again. And we'll probably do some advertisements on our Facebook page for specific dates and times. And I just like to invite, encourage anybody out who's interested in getting to know their police department a little bit more to sign up.
What does it entail exactly?
So we typically try to go through the different departments within the different divisions within the department. So someone in a class might get to learn about the structure of the police department. You know, hey, what does our patrol section look like? What does our detectives look like? What does our drug unit look like? Get into our specialty teams, like such as our crisis negotiators, our SWAT team, our explosive ordnance team. Get to meet our dispatchers and kind of just get an idea of what those people do in their different day-to-day jobs. And they also get to meet Buddy, our canine. So everybody's, that's usually a
It's an 8-week long course. Is that every day during the 8 weeks or once a week, a couple times a week?
You know, I don't know what this, the Spring Academy is going to look like. The last one was set up for, I believe it was one day a week. And try to make it not so cumbersome on people, because people got, you know, busy lives and a lot of stuff going on, but try to make it manageable for people where they can stop in once a week and attend.
And once they graduate, what does that mean for them? Is there any kind of certification that they receive?
You know, not really a certification. They might get a little certificate just to say that, hey, you participated, and kind of a thank you, but it really just lets people get to know the police department a little better. Like, you mean, you see it on TV, you kind of hear about it a little bit, but not a whole lot of people have direct interactions with the police department. So it really creates an opportunity for people to come in, meet some of our staff, get to know things, ask questions. And sometimes just asking the questions just opens up a whole new realm of information. So it's kind of nice.
That sounds pretty interesting. As someone who talks to the police department once a month, maybe I should get a better understanding myself. Lieutenant Craig Campbell, thanks so much for joining us today. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we sign off?
You know, the only thing I was going to mention is, you know, our current recruitment, we're still recruiting for police officer applicants. We've hired three here in the past few months, which is pretty exciting. We got three people going to the Public Safety Academy in later this month. So that's great for us. And just so far, we still have six vacancies. So if there's anybody out there thinking about working for the police department, let them know is that, you know, we are filling up, but there's still room for them. So please apply.
That's great. Well, thanks again for your time. I hope you have a wonderful afternoon.
You too. Take care. Okay. Bye.